John chapter 8 and verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning. The Lord will help me on the mark of a disciple. The mark of a disciple. Jesus said to those that believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is talking here at Jerusalem in the temple, and he has made a specific claim to these people in verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. He makes this dramatic claim in the face of his enemies, in the presence of the Jews, I am the light of the world. He goes on in talking to them to tell them that he has a witness of that fact, that his Father is a witness of who he is. He says, in verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of myself. And then he warns them in verse 24 that they must believe that he is the light of the world, saying to them, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So he gives them this severe warning. You must believe I am the light of the world. My Father bears witness of me. I bear witness of that fact. And he said, you must believe that I am he, or else you will die in your sins. As Jesus talked to these people, the Bible says that many believed. In verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. So that there was a response from that congregation, that many people in that congregation, impressed by the words of Christ, impressed by the person of Christ, no doubt having knowledge of the mighty works of Christ, they believed on the Lord Jesus. They, in other words, they
began to trust Him. They began to put their faith and confidence in Him because of what they had heard, what they'd seen out of Jesus Christ. But then Jesus laid down a criteria to determine the genuineness of their faith, the genuineness of their commitment. And He said to them in verse 31, to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this was the criteria that Jesus laid down to determine if these people genuinely believed on Him, genuinely trusted Him, and were genuine disciples of His. You see, a disciple is a people, a follower, a student, one who conforms to the person and proclamation of Jesus Christ, a student of Christ, a follower of Christ, someone who conforms to the person and proclamation of Jesus Christ. And He says, this is the mark of those who are My true disciples. If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. In other words, Jesus was saying to this crowd, if you are really My disciples, then there will be evidence in your life that you are really a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here is the mark. If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. In other words, Jesus was saying to them that every disciple of Jesus Christ demonstrates an appetite for His word. If you continue in My word, every disciple of Jesus has an appetite for His word. They want to know what Jesus has to say. They want to be acquainted with the teachings of the Savior, because every disciple is a student, a follower, a pupil, someone who conforms to the person and to the character and to the teachings of Jesus Christ. So every disciple has a vital interest in what Jesus has to say. They want to be acquainted with the teachings of the Son of God, because they cannot conform to the teachings of the Son of God unless they're first acquainted with the teachings of the Son of God. Jesus taught us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? One man said that man has two competing faculties, and that is his mind and his belly. And most people are given to the belly instead of the mind. There is a spiritual part of a person. There is a physical part of the person. And most people's physical part dominates in their life. Their God is their belly, and their physical part dominates in their life. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I meant to ask in my Sunday school this morning, how many of you are working your way through the Bible this year? And perhaps I'll just put that question to you right now, without asking for a show of hands. Last year, I believe it was, we worked on this, hoping that it would get in somebody's heart, that they would begin to work their way consistently through the Word of God, and studying the Bible, seeking to apply the Scriptures to their life. And I wonder in this congregation this morning, how many of you are working your way through the Bible, studying the Word of God, seeking to apply the Word of God to your life, and because you love what God has to say. Brother, the Bible tells us about Job. He said, I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. And most of the people in this world, even in the church world, their God is their belly. They're occupied and dominated by the physical appetites, and the spiritual appetites are killed in their life, so that there's no appetite for God and for the Word of God. You remember that man, Brother Moses, that came over here from Panama, wasn't it? He came here, he was one of the pastors in Panama. And this man who lives in such poverty, who lives in such primitive conditions, struggling for food. They go out and hunt for their food. And just like the Indians did in this country years ago. He's an Indian. He's a Choco Indian. And they live just like the Indians lived in this country back in the days when this country was first found. They go out, hunt for their food daily. And these people live in such primitive conditions. He came to America, food everywhere. Took him to a, Brother Gary and Phil him, took him to a restaurant, one of these restaurants that's got this bar, you know, where you just go out, you got all of this food up there, and you choose the food you want. I don't think he'd ever seen anything like that in his life. He came to America to see things, experience things he'd never experienced in his life. Eating three or four times a day. And he came here and ministered to us. Went around with me praying for people. And had a wonder. You could tell he was a man of God. Well, one day he said to my wife, he said, "Don't cook me no food today." He said, "I'm not going to eat today." He said, "I've been eating too much since I've been here." He said, "The physical is beginning to dominate the spiritual." And he said, I need to push back the plate a while and get with God. Brother, that impressed me. And I thought, oh God, how many of us in America are in that condition every week, every month, all year long, dominated by the physical, and the spiritual has to take the back seat in our life. This man said, "Don't fix me no food today. I've got to get the spiritual in front of the physical." God wants us to understand, brother, that true disciples of Jesus Christ and treasure the words of Jesus Christ. We want to know what Jesus said. And we want to understand what Jesus said. And Job said, "I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food," he said. You know, the word disciple is a word that it stands at the root of that word discipline. You understand? Disciple is the root of that word discipline. And the disciple is a disciplined person. It is a person whose bodily appetites are brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And their spiritual appetites are developed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are a person who loves, esteems, demonstrates a love and esteem for the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "If you are really my disciples, if you have really believed on me, this is going to be the demonstration of it. He that remaineth in my word, he that continues in my word, they are my disciples indeed." So not only does this demonstrate an appetite for the word of God, but they demonstrate a conformity to the word of Jesus. They not only want to know what Jesus said, but they want to conform to what Jesus has said in His Word. How many of you have studied lately the Sermon on the Mount? You know, that's the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament, Mount Sinai. God wrote the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, gave it to the people of Israel, and they said, "We will keep the commandments of God." Broke them before Moses ever got off the mountain. And here in the New Testament, Jesus stands on the mountain, talks to His disciples, gives them the New Testament ethical law in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And you ought to be able to know what Jesus has said to us in that wonderful Sermon on the Mount. Do you know the teachings of Jesus Christ? Are you following the teachings of Jesus Christ? Is it vital to you that you know and understand and conform your life to the teachings of Jesus Christ? Do you know what Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount? Well, I'll tell you just a few things He said. Just a few things He said in that Sermon on the Mount. He started it off with the Beatitudes. Every one of them began with what word? Blessed. The word blessed. Blessed. These people have the favor of God. These people are blessed of God. These are the people that the smile of God is on their life. He starts it out like this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." That's how He starts it out. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what a man poor in spirit is? He's a man who's recognized his dependence upon God. He understands that without God, he's morally bankrupt. Without God, he's spiritually bankrupt. He can say with the Apostle Paul, "In me dwelleth no good thing. Without God, there's nothing good in me." Oh, he's the man that's come to the point and realizes he cannot live independently of God. He must trust in God. So every day he's seeking the face of God. Every day you find him on his knees. And every day you find him in the Word of God, because he understands he cannot live independently of God. That man is blessed by God. The reason some of you are not blessed is because you're independent. I didn't have no amens on that one. But that's the reason many of you are not blessed. That's the reason that you are poor. I mean, when you could be rich spiritually, you have never realized your poverty. You have never sought God sincerely. You've always made excuses for why you couldn't pray. You've always made excuses why you couldn't study your Bible. You've always found reasons why you didn't find it necessary to attend church. Always finding excuses, never realizing your dependence upon God, and you are poor. I mean, when you could be spiritually rich, if you just recognize how poor you are without God, and you'd seek the face of God, you could be enriched spiritually. And the reason why that many of us do not know the favor of God, and we do not know the blessings of God, is we've never come to the point where we realize our own poverty of spirit, and that independent spirit has taken us away from God and his blessings. And we've said to God, "I'll leave you on the shelf, and I'll leave your word on the shelf. I don't really need you." But I'm telling you, brother, how you can be blessed this morning. I'm telling you, sister, how you can be enriched this morning. If you'll seek the face of God, if you'll study to know what Jesus has said, and you'll study to conform to what Jesus has said, you can be blessed of God. You can have the favor of God in your life. This is the passage where Jesus told us. He said, "You've heard it hath been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And in the original languages, that phrase "without a cause" is not in there. It was added. So a lot of people take that clause and justify their anger. They say, "I have a cause. I have a reason to be angry." So they carry a grudge, chip on the shoulder, nourish their bitterness. He said, if you're angry, you're carrying, nourishing that wound, feeding that bitterness, refusing to forgive, praying as if God is hearing you and God is all the time resisting you, saying to you, if you want to be forgiven, then you must forgive. He said, if you have anger in your heart against your brother, you're in danger of the council. If you say to your brother, "Reka," which is an expression of contempt, you'll be in danger of the judgment. He said, if you say to your brother, "Thou fool," which is an expression, a Hebrew expression that indicates a critical attitude, he said, you will be in danger of hell fire. How about that? Oh, this is what Jesus taught. He taught us that the spirit of murder is just as bad in the eyes of God as an act of murder. In other words, Jesus said to us, if you harbor an attitude of murder in your heart, you will be judged as a murderer at the judgment bar of God. John told us that in 1 John. And he said, whoso hateth his brother, what did he say about him? He is a murderer, he said. He didn't say that he killed anybody. He didn't say he stabbed anybody. He didn't say he shot anybody. But he said he hates somebody, and he is a murderer, he said. Jesus said, these are my disciples. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, he said. You know, if we're to be a student of his, if we're to be a follower of Jesus, if we're to be conformed to his word, to his teachings, then we must find out what He has said. And we must approach the Word of God with a heart that's willing to do what He has said. And Jesus said, I'll bless you. Blessed is that man. The favor of God is upon his life. The blessings of God is upon his soul. Listen to me. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. And so many people are seeking their satisfaction everywhere but in Jesus Christ. But if you will believe on the Son of God, as we taught this morning, Jesus Christ has the power to give you life. He's the source of life. He's the giver of life. He gives us physical life. That's the reason we're here this morning, because God has given us physical life. He's the one that keeps us breathing. You hear me? I said, He's the one that keeps us breathing. If you ain't got nothing else to praise God for, you're still breathing, aren't you? Hey, He said in Psalms 150, let everything that hath breath do what? Praise God. You are here breathing this morning. God woke you up this morning, gave you the breath of life. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here because God has given us the breath of life. He could take it away in an instant of time. And we are to praise and honor Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're to praise Him because God is the giver of life. He gives us breath to breathe. Not only does He give us breath to breathe, He's the one that gives us everlasting life. He said, I have come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly, He said. You know, I pray that God will help us to get a hold of this, and that the Lord will help us to realize what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Because God wants to bless you. Hey, listen, we're cheating ourselves when we fail to find out what Jesus has said and submit to what Jesus has said. We're cheating ourselves. Philip Yancey, the editorial writer for Christianity Today, author of numerous books, world traveler, said that he went around the world visiting various churches, various places of worship. He went into churches in Russia, Orthodox churches where the people stood for hours, didn't understand a word that was said, stood for hours and worshiped while their priests read from scriptures. They didn't understand a word he said. He went to churches in poor third world countries where the drums beat and the people danced. He went to churches in America. He went to churches in Britain where there were huge cathedrals, multitudes of pews, and just a few people sitting on them. He said, in all the places of worship that I went to, he said, I was amazed at one common thing that I observed almost everywhere I went. He said, almost no one in those churches acted like they were enjoying what they were doing. In all the places I went, places of worship, he said, almost no one acted like they were enjoying what they were doing. And you know, it ought not to be that way in our lives. We ought so love the Lord. Lord, your word is precious to me. I love to read it. I love to study it. I love to obey it. I love to hear it preached. I love the word of God, the words of Jesus. It ought to be something special to us to come to the house of God and lift our hands and give glory to Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. It ought to be the focus of our mind, the message of the Scriptures, which is a message of redemption, that Jesus died for us, gave His life for us. It ought to be the focus of our mind so that we come to the house of God. It's easy for us to give glory to Him, to rejoice in Him, to praise Him. God has blessed us. He said in His Word, blessed are these people. And God wants you to be a blessed person. He wants you to know the favor and blessing of God in your life. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it, the Bible says. Notice this. In my text this morning, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that the disciple is marked by an increasing knowledge of Christ and an increasing conformity to the ways of Jesus Christ. You see, we live in a world, we live in a nation that has defined salvation without discipleship. We've decided that we can be saved without being disciples, without being followers of Jesus Christ. That we can just merely believe on Him and then forget Him. But that's not the salvation of the Word of God. If you want to be a real salvation, you cannot just believe on Jesus and then forget about Him. You must become a follower of Jesus Christ. And He said, as a result of that, ye shall know the truth, He said. Y'all hearing me? Y'all listening to me? He said, ye shall know the truth. Now understand this. You cannot impose the truth on somebody. You can't take a person and say, I'm going to make you believe the truth. You can't do that. That's why it's foolishness for nations to lock up political dissidents. Put them in jail because they disagree with the government. You're not going to force somebody to believe something. You can't take the truth and force somebody to believe it. You know, hold their mouth open and punch it down. You can't do that. But the Bible says there's a condition for knowing the truth. He said, Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that when we become disciples of Jesus Christ, He gives us a heart and a mind to understand the truth. We can grasp it. We can get a hold to it. And I'm telling you, I can preach all day long, but if you don't have a heart for the truth, it ain't going nowhere in you. It ain't going to reside in you. It's not going to dwell in you. If you don't have a heart for it, it's going to slip right on by you. It's going to go one ear in one ear and out the other. It's going to be, you know, just shoveled on back to somebody else. But if you've got a heart for the truth, you've got a mind to receive the truth, and you're submitted to the truth in your heart, then when you hear the truth, you know it. Hey, you say, hey, that's right. I know that's right. Inside of me there's a testimony. That's right. I know that's the truth. And I've got it. I'm grasping it. That's the truth. Ye shall know the truth, he said, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother, a lot of people are walking around in darkness. A lot of people walking around slaves, servants to sin. Right below here, Jesus said, whosoever committed sin, they are the servants of sin. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has come to set us free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, he said. Can you say amen? I don't know whether you're asleep or whether you disagree with me. I don't know what's going on here this morning. But I'm telling you, you got to have a heart for the truth. There's got to be a surrender inside of you to what Jesus says. And when there's a surrender inside of you to whatever Jesus says, you can recognize the truth and rejoice in the truth. You shall know the truth, and it'll work in your life. It'll set you free. Oh, yeah. You got bitterness in your heart? It'll set you free. You got an unforgiving spirit? It'll set you free. You're bound by habits of cigarette? It'll set you free. You're bound by chewing tobacco? It'll set you free. The truth will set you free. Hey, you're bound by bad words, set you free. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. I'm telling you, there's power in the truth. Jesus said, he said, whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed. So that Jesus sets us free from the practice of sin in our life. We don't continue practicing sin when we're following Jesus. You hear me? We don't continue practicing sin when we're following Jesus. Ah, he sets us free from that pornography. He sets us free from a quarrelsome attitude. He sets us free from an unthankful attitude. He sets us free from an unholy attitude. He sets us free from a rebellious attitude. Whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed. He sets us free from the practice of sin. But not only does He set us free from the practice of sin, He sets us free from the pollution of sin. He sets us free from that sin nature that we were born with, that drew us into the hog pen of sin. Listen to me. Take a man and clean him up. You know, tell him about holiness. Teach him about holiness. Isolate him from the world. Don't let him go anywhere. Don't let him go to Walmart. Don't let him go to the ball game. Don't let him go to the picture show. Don't set a television in front of him. Lock him in a closet. Set him apart from the world. But I'm telling you, if there's something inside of him, brother, if that sin nature's inside of him, if it's working in him, he'll sin in the closet. He'll sin in the closet. He'll sin in his mind. He'll sin in his emotions. He'll sin in his thoughts. He'll sin in that closet. If there's something, the pollution of sin is still in him and working in him, he'll sin in the closet. That's the reason why when you get a person out of the world, you got to get the world out of them. If the world get out of them, guess what they're going to do? They're going right back to the hog pen they came out of. You take a pig, wash him, clean him up. Catherine's got a pet pig. I don't know if you ever tried to clean him up, Catherine. Catherine's got a pet pig, just took up with her. And she feeds him, and every night he comes, he'll wander off during the day. All day he's wandering off. Every night he comes back because he knows Catherine's going to fix for him. I mean, have something for him to eat. And he sleeps under the tractor out there in the barn. And he's healthy. I'm telling you, Catherine took good care of him. He's healthy looking pig. And we went down there the other day, and he just come home. He was eating down there. And we saw him, and Catherine's down in the garden. Judy asked her, said, are you going to kill that pig? Catherine said, no, I'm not going to kill that pig. That's her pet. She's not going to kill that pig. I'm telling you, you can take that pig, wash him up, put bows and ribbons on him, and turn him loose, and guess where he's going? He's going right back to the mud hole. He's going right back to the filth. You're not going to keep that pig out of a mud hole because it's in his nature to go to the mud hole. That's why Jesus came, not only to forgive us and stop the practice of sin in our life, but to correct what was wrong inside of us. So that not only do we get out of the mud hole, but we don't want to go back to the mud hole anymore. God gives us a new nature, you see. Takes out of us that pollution of sin. That's what we call sanctification. God saves us and forgives us of our sins and sanctifies us and takes out that pollution of sin so that we don't want to go to the mud hole anymore. There's something inside of us reaching higher. Hallelujah. We've got our mind set on heavenly things, and God gives to us a new nature that's attractive to heaven. We lay off that old man and we put on that new man created in righteousness and true holiness, after the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful to be free. Brother and sister, it's wonderful to be free. I wish I could tell everybody here in such a way that you'd be so, you could see it. You could understand it. You'd be so glad to get it. Hallelujah. You could be free. Free from that old bitterness. Free from that old critical spirit. Free from that love of the world. Hallelujah. You could raise your hands and worship God without hindrance. And praise God. You could come to the house of God, feel the freedom of worshiping God. There's praise in your heart, glory on your lips. And thank God you've been in the presence of God. Hey, God wants to do something for us. He wants to make us followers of the Lamb. He wants to make us disciples of Jesus. He wants to give us a hunger for His Word, to know what He said, and a desire to conform to what He said. That Jesus wants to make us true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take away all our excuses for not worshiping God. Take away all our excuses for not serving God in the beauty of holiness. Make us people like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you know Him this morning? Have you met Jesus, the Son of God? Have you fallen in love with Jesus? Have you given up your life? This is what we talked about this morning in Sunday school. Sister Ann mentioned it. This is what it means to be saved, is to give up your life. I mean to turn it loose. It's not yours any longer. Whatever He says to you, you're going to do it because you've given Jesus your life. Martyrs are not made at the stake. Martyrs are made at the altar. That's where you give up your life. At this altar, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I'm asking you this morning, have you give up your life? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I'll do your will? You see, because it's not enough for me to accept Jesus as my Savior, I must accept Him as my Lord. And when I accept Him as my Lord, my time is not my own. My money is not my own. My car is not my own to be done with as I see fit. My computer is not my own to be done with as I want to do. Nothing I have is my own anymore. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Everything I have is under His Lordship. My family is under His Lordship. My home is under His Lordship. My time is under His Lordship. My money is under His Lordship. I cannot spend my money just however I want to spend it because my money is under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be saved, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I wonder this morning in this congregation, is there someone here in this body of people this morning? You're miserable. You're miserable because you're disobeying God. You're miserable because you have never cut loose, cut the cord from this world. You're miserable because you've never answered the call of Jesus Christ. Come and follow me. You know that you're living in disobedience to Him. You know that you have not made a commitment of your life to Him. You cannot praise Him. Not this morning, not Monday morning, not Tuesday morning. You don't praise Him during the week because there's something stifling the praises in your heart and in your life. You're living in disobedience to God. I'm telling you, you don't have to continue to live in that misery. There is relief. There is deliverance. There is help for you this morning in this altar. Hallelujah. You may say, well, you know, that's just old Bill Prescott up there. We know him. And that's up him up there, you know, running his mouth. But listen, if what I have said is the Word of God, you are going to face it, whether it's a donkey up here talking. You hear me? I said, you're going to face it again if it's a donkey up here talking. If it's the Word of God, God wants us to be happy in the Lord. God wants us to have the joy of the Lord in our life. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and you cannot be happy living under a cloud of condemnation. You cannot be happy, defeated. You cannot have the joy of the Lord when you're living in disobedience to God every day of your life, not praying, not studying the Word of God, offering up all kinds of excuses why you don't, justifying yourself before God, trying to justify yourself before God because you don't do what God has said. I'm telling you, that's a miserable kind of life. But God wants to help us this morning, every one of us. God wants to help us around this altar this morning to submit our life to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'll walk after you. We don't want to hear the words that Jesus spoke to those Jews and said, I'm going to leave you, and where I'm going, you cannot come. You're going to die in your sins. He told them that because they were not following Him. If you're not following Him, you can't wind up where He's gone. You hear me? I said, if you're not following Him, you can't wind up to where He's gone. He said to them, where I'm going, you cannot come. You're going to die in your sins. But over in John chapter 14, He spoke to His disciples and said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you, brother, if you'll walk the shepherd's path, you can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. if you'll walk the shepherd's path, if you'll follow in the path of the shepherd, he leads us beside still waters. He restoreth our soul. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Hey, y'all, listen to this. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. It don't matter what's going on in your life, brother. How many people's against you? How many people's talking about you? What people are doing to you? He spreads a table in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's if you're walking the shepherd's path this morning. Are you following Jesus? You're walking the shepherd's path. You know what it is to just sit in green pastures down beside still waters. Hallelujah. Walking the paths of righteousness. You know what it is for him to be with you when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And because you're following after Jesus. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. This is the mark of the disciples of Jesus. Do you walk in the Word of God? I want us to stand together this morning. I've tried to preach a message that God laid upon my heart for this service. I want to ask you a question. In this past week, did you get up in the morning, or at least sometime during that day, make time for God in your life? Studying the Word of God, listening for God to speak to your heart. Did you get on your knees every day this past week and say, God, I love you. You love me first, and I love you because you first loved me. And I'm going to seek your face because you told me to seek your face. Did you spend time with God in prayer? Did you seek after the Lord with all of your heart? I'm telling you, Jesus has laid down for us this morning the mark of his disciples. If you continue in my word, if you diligently seek to know what I have said, what I have taught, and you diligently seek to apply to your life what I have taught, what I have said, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now I'm telling you, at the judgment, God's going to make the final winnowing. You didn't love my word. You didn't do my word. Goats on the left. You love my word. You obeyed my word. You believed in me. Sheep on my right. He's going to make that winnowing process one of these days. But he's giving us the opportunity this morning, in this service, right here. Not next week, not tomorrow, not a month from now. God is giving us an opportunity right here in this service this morning to get that process corrected in our lives so that when Jesus makes the final judgment, he'll set us on the right hand with his sheep. We've got the nature of his sheep. We're followers of Jesus. We love his word. We're doing what he says in his word. So we have an opportunity this morning to answer the call of Jesus. Come. Follow me. Come, and I'll give you rest. Come, and I'll bless you. Follow me. Learn what it is to really live. Would you step out this morning? Before I give a general altar call, I want to give a specific altar call. I just want to ask you this. Is there anybody in this church this morning that you could say in your heart, preacher, God sent that message for me. I know that God sent that message for me. And I want to do something about it in my life. I really want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in this house this morning that you'd have the courage to step out right now and come to this altar and say, I know that message, God sent that message for me. I know God is interested in me. I know God wants to help me. I know God wants to correct in me the things that need correcting. Is there anybody in this service right now, while everybody reverences the Lord, is there anybody in this service right now that you would step out and you would say, "Yes, preacher, I know that was for me. I need to make some corrections in my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ." Is there anybody that's got the courage to do that this morning? That you'd shuck off all the accusations of the devil that would tell you. They're going to think you're backslid. They're going to think there's nothing to you. They're going to think this. They're going to think that. But is there somebody here that would just shuck off all of the accusations of the devil and say, "Look, I know God sent that word to me, and I'm going to move out in this altar and seek the face of God for God to do something in my life today"? Is there anybody in this congregation while we wait just a moment? While we wait just a moment. I believe there are people in this house that if you really acknowledge your need, came to this altar in front of all these people. There are people in this house that would cry with you, weep with you, pray over you, seek to help you. Your time of need. Is there anybody, anyone, God spoke to your heart specifically? You say, "That's me, and I know God sent that for me. I know He's wanting to help me. He's trying to help me." Anybody? All right. I'm going to give a general altar call this morning. If you're here, you need to be saved, come on. You need to be sanctified, come on. You need the baptism, come on. You need to be encouraged, come on. Maybe you're one of those that this message pricked your heart, come on. Let's have a general altar call this morning. Come into these altars and seek the Lord.